Good morning, good evening, whatever time it is, wherever you are. This is AJ from Ebbs and Flows Podcast. I wanted to apologize, first of all, on behalf of the fact that I haven't put out a new episode in the past, I don't know, 3 or 4 weeks. The reason being, I've kind of been in this blockage of just mindset. Things would come to my mind that I wanted to talk about, but I couldn't talk about them because I wasn't motivated to do so. Same thing had been going on with my writing for the last 2 months. And it was just out of nowhere that sometimes ideas come to me that I'm like, you know what, I'm going to run with this and I'm going to take off whatever it is to put out the episode for those thoughts that come on. I wanted these episodes to be weekly, but didn't get to do it weekly because I just hadn't been motivated to put something out like that. So today I wanted to do a little bit about just those first moments again, because they come up every so often. Baseball season for the Pirates is almost over, so I did survive my first baseball season without my dad, without Tom for that matter as well. I also wanted to throw out that today was my mom's birthday. It was my mom's first birthday without my dad, and last night I had a text from a family member who had said, AJ, you need to, I don't know if there was a tradition that your dad had with your mom for birthday, but you should probably continue that. So I wanted to do that, but I didn't know how because my motivation hadn't been there. And it's not that I don't love my mom, because I definitely do. I just think that this whole thing has just, it's just really exhausted me. I just feel exhausted by everything. And I feel like I've been nothing but the best that I could be in the last almost 11 months here that, or in the last 10 months, we're approaching 10 months. Okay. Anyways, I thought that I could do everything that I could do for my mom these last 10 months. And it's just for me, like, you know, here comes her birthday and I don't have anything planned. I don't have anything for her. I just didn't have anything. And I felt really bad that I didn't have that because it was her first birthday without him being here. And we've all had our first birthdays since my dad has passed. We experienced my dad's first birthday without him in the summer. In July, I experienced my first birthday without him, as my birthday was literally the day after his funeral, the day that we put him to rest. My birthday was there. Not an easy birthday by any means, for that matter. One of the worst, probably the worst birthday I've ever had in my life, but not for the fact that all of our family was there. It was great having all of our family with us. Still something where I am so just like overwhelmed by this process, I think is the best way to put it, and it really does hurt. It's really tough for me. I went to the baseball game Friday night and sat with my dad's good friend Mark, and Mark and I had the chance of sitting behind home plate and watching the game together. And I remember that I gave Mark a gift every year. I went to the arts festival for my dad and got my dad something from the arts festival for Father's Day. Well, since I didn't have a father on this Father's Day, I wanted to treat the 4 or 5 guys in my life that had really taken over where my dad left off to just something to let them know I was thinking about them. For our friend Mike, I got him a coaster that, for the drinks and whatnot, that had Juju Smith-Schuster staring down Vontaze Burfict, one of the great Steeler plays. The one that I got from Mark was Roberto Clemente tipping his cap to the crowd after he got his 3,000th hit. Clemente was a Pirate player, and Mark is a huge Pirates baseball fan. It's also fitting for Mark and I that we can continue our relationship. I think I knew of Mark when my dad was alive. We called him Ticketmaster because he could always get us Pirate tickets whenever we needed them before everything that had happened. And my dad would go to Springsteen concerts with him and did hang out with him a good amount. But since my dad has passed, I've seen Mark a lot more. And Mark is just such a tremendous guy. I got to learn early on after this had happened, Mark and his wife Luann had come to the house and had dinner with us and had learned early on that Mark struggles with similar things that I do. And just to have that kind of bond, more so that we both have the same struggles, was very humbling to me. And also very just, it felt right. So with Mark, we had always been in a fantasy football league together too, with my dad and Tom, and I couldn't bring myself to continue being in that league. But what I did end up doing was I reached out to a league that Tom and my dad were in for a really long time. And since I was taking over Tom's team this year, I had also asked if Mark could join the league as well so that him and I can continue that relationship with fantasy football. And it feels right to be in that league. I took over Tom's team. Mike is a co-manager for Tom's team with me, and Mark is taking over my dad's team. So it felt right to have a league again with Mark and I in the same league. Our first fantasy football draft without my dad and without Tom in that league, in a year that both of them weren't in that league, the draft was really interesting for the people participating who knew them for a long period of time. I'd like to hear about Tom's troubles with his internet and constantly asking if guys have been taken off the board already, and they had already been taken off the board. And then my dad, with all his connectivity issues and whatnot, I had always said that technology wasn't my dad's friend, which it really wasn't. Not. At least not when he was with us, it wasn't. He definitely understood technology more when he was at work, but I guess your brain shuts off when you leave. We had our first family fantasy draft without my dad. And every kind of time that we go to the family's house, with my cousins and everything without my dad, it's still really weird, and it still feels so surreal that he's not there with us. I mean, yes, he's there with us, but not the way that I want him to be there with us. It's difficult. I talk about grief pretty frequently these days. I'm back to being a mental health therapist, and it was a part of my life that I really missed, was providing therapy to people. When I was working in the hospital, I couldn't really provide that therapy that I wanted to people. I really was doing just kind of basic stuff with people, just trying to learn a little bit about them and doing assessments all day long. Sometimes I might have a tough conversation with a family member about a next step or something like that, but ultimately, I knew that in order to impact somebody in the way that I wanted to impact them, I had to go back to doing therapy. And everything kind of works out for a reason. Everything works out for a reason in our lives. At the time when I wrote this post about the dog, at the time that we had gotten her from the breeder, we didn't really know what purpose she would serve in our lives. But with my dad being gone, she serves a very important purpose. My mom always posts these photos on Facebook about Augusta sleeping in and how exhausted she is, but I'd be exhausted too if I was being the family therapy dog. So, we didn't know when we got Augusta what she would do to our lives. We didn't know that she would be so loving to us in our desperate times of need. And again, it's a dog. I mean, dogs are really, really great for every reason. I wrote this article about her the other day, and in the article I put in there a it's just a very touching poem when it's read out. The title of the article was "Dog Spelled Backwards Is God." The poem is, "And on the ninth day, God looked down on his children and said they need a companion. So God made a dog. God said, I need someone willing to give kisses, sleep all day, chase cats, roll in something dead. Give more kisses, squeak a ball, then take up more than their fair share of the bed. So God made a dog. God said, I need somebody willing to lift the tears of a child's face, then with unwavering courage defend their family from strangers. I need somebody who can take a full frozen chicken, or for our case, a loaf of bread off the counter, fetch sticks, chase balls, strike kibble, and always be ready for a ride in the car. Somebody who, despite your impatience, unwillingness to play fetch, and stubbornness, will love you with their whole heart all the time. So God made a dog. God said, I need somebody brave enough to defend livestock and capture criminals, yet gentle enough to visit hospitals and raise puppies. Somebody who will forgive mistreatment and give their heart to a new family. So God made a dog. It had to be somebody with true devotion and dedication, even when left alone for hours. Somebody to love, lick, snuggle, and hug, and bow wow, and slobber, and fart, and leap for a frisbee, and woof at the mailman and chase birds. Somebody who would herd a family together with true loyalty and gentle eyes. Somebody who would bark, then wag, and fetch their leash when their best friend says, let's go for a walk. So God made a dog. The poem is by Paul Harvey. We don't know the path that God puts us on. We don't know what's going to happen on this life that we live. Nothing is guaranteed. I always say to one of my coworkers all the time that you never know what tomorrow is going to bring. For me, in these last 10 months, that sentiment has just held true so clearly, is that you never know what the day is going to bring, so you better live that day like it's your last, because you never know what that next day is going to be like. I strive to live my day every day like it's my last. I strive to put people in my life that I will love having for the rest of my life. I really have gone outside of my comfort zone to do things that I normally wouldn't be doing. For example, I'm leading hikes in Pittsburgh on Tuesday nights in Frick Park. I'm leading a hike 7 p.m. at Beechwood Farms Nature Preserve in Fox Chapel on Wednesdays. And I just had debuting a Thursday evening hike in the South Side on the stairs and that kind of area on Thursday nights at 7 p.m. So if anyone who's local to the area is listening to this and wants to get out and do some exercise, feel free to come on those hikes. Let me know if you decide you want to, and I can get you the information for those hikes. We don't know what tomorrow will bring. That is the lesson that I've learned this whole time, is we don't know what tomorrow will bring. And every time that we have a first encounter with something, we don't know what kind of emotion that'll bring for us. Mark was so honored on Friday night about getting this gift that I dropped for him and thinking of him, that he just kept saying thank you over and over and over again. But I kept telling him that I'm so thankful that he is in my life, because he really had picked up with my dad where my dad left off. And I realized that I won't have another dad, but I can have lots of mentors or lots of people who kind of adopt me as a son of theirs, essentially. Mark and his wife didn't have kids, but in a way I kind of feel like Mark is a father figure that I can, you know, rely on if I need someone. I kept telling him that I was thankful that he picked up where my dad left off, and my mom had said that it was a good sentiment that my dad was such a great person and surrounded himself with such great people. Mark being no short of that. Mark is a great person. Same with other people that I talk to. I realize that I probably do thank people a lot for being in my life, but they don't get as much thanks and appreciation as they deserve. I reached out to a friend of my dad's the other day and had told him that I am very appreciative that he is fine with me reaching out to him and talking baseball with him, because I would normally be doing the same thing with my dad, and my dad would normally just send me a thumbs up or a okay or a wow or something like that, but he wouldn't get into detail about things. And these other people that I'm talking to actually respond with much more than just that. And for them to take their time to do that is just so appreciative for me. Or I appreciate that a lot. Grief is something that's always there. I recently was reading some diagnoses for something at my job, and I saw a grief disorder, like a long-term grief disorder, and it really blew me away because I don't think grief is a mental disorder. Grief is something we're all going to experience. Every single one of us are going to experience grief at some point in our life. So I don't think you can say that it's a mental health disorder when it's not. It's something that we all experience. We all long for somebody. We all miss somebody. We've all had somebody in our lives that was taken from us too soon, and we feel that. We feel that pain. I don't think for a second that grief is a mental health disorder. I think it's something we all experience. I'm writing about that same sentiment in the book that I'm writing, and I don't know if I'm going to hit my 1 year mark of getting it done. Because that would be a lot of work, and then it's 2 months basically. But we might have to extend it just a little bit. Like I said, it's been really difficult these past 2 months basically. For me personally, it's been pretty difficult for me. I started a new job. I love this job so far. It's pretty awesome. I feel like I'm really making an impact with people. But at the same time, it's still tough. Remembering where I was in May, like in May, I was still working at the job that I really had loved at the moment, but I think also that I was getting burnt out from that position. I think part of my error that I had made that led me to losing my job was because I was so burnt out from just the constant trauma that I was, the secondary trauma that I had to live through all the time. I had never gotten close to moving to the unit that I wanted to move to. It just kept on being put off and put on hold, and just never really got to a point where it was going to be, hey, I'm going to do this. This is going to be great. It wasn't. I love this new schedule though. Working 7 a.m. to 3 p.m. is so great. When I'm done with work at 3 p.m., I have the rest of my evening to do whatever I want. And that is just so, for me, that's so much healthier for me and my just existence, I guess would be the word to say, existence. Just because I think it gives me more time to be alive, to live. When I used to work those shifts at the hospital, when I'd be done at 7 p.m. in the wintertime, it was so tough for me because I'd wake up and it'd be dark outside and I'd get home and it'd be dark outside. I never had gotten any sun throughout the day. Now, when I wake up, yes, it's dark outside, but when I get off at 3 p.m., it is either sunny outside or it's raining or whatever, but I still see the light of day. And I think that is so important in this process, is to get off and see the light of day. It is this series of firsts. We have almost hit our full year without my dad, and every day feels like it just happened yesterday. Every day it feels like yesterday, but also at the same time, it also feels like an eternity. There are times that I wish terribly that he was here. Another first for me is watching college football without him, but thankfully I have a decent amount of people that I can talk to about college football. Mike, for one, has been awesome. As I say every time that I talk, Mike is awesome. Even my cousin Carl, him and I have gotten so close these last 10 months, and we realized that this wasn't what we wanted when we said we needed to be close to each other, but we've become really close because of this. His birthday's tomorrow, actually. He is the big 5-0. Well, his birthday is September 16th. My mom's birthday was September 15th. I'm recording this on September 15th. So, yeah, Carl's the big 5-0. What would be the next day from today? I went out to their house last weekend, spent the night. Carl's wife and I had gone to a photography tour at a hospital in West Virginia and just had a good weekend together. And for me, that was cool because I had never really spent a lot of like time one-on-one with his spouse. It was usually them together, but it was really nice to have that time with her. And also just really nice for us to both do something that we really enjoyed, which is photography. Carrie is a phenomenal photographer. And some of these shots that she edited for me were just incredible. So I have a lot to learn on that aspect. But today we went to the baseball game with Carl and Carrie and two of their friends from West Virginia. So it was just really, really cool to have that. And although we missed my dad not being there, I miss my dad every time I go to a baseball game. It was really just nice to have that happen. It was just nice to be there with other people that we care about. So again, this has been all just a series of firsts for us, and every day is a new day, but every day feels like it just happened yesterday. But here we are approaching the 1 year mark, and it still feels like it happened yesterday. This series of firsts will continue, but well, maybe not, because soon they're going to be turning into seconds. But I bet that the second time it goes through is still as hurtful as the first. It's going to be interesting. We're going to hit the second anniversary of his passing, or the first anniversary of his passing, then our second Thanksgiving without him. It's just weird how those times had all kind of looped together. So anyways, like I said at the beginning of this, I apologize for not getting episodes out sooner. I just had been in kind of a lack of motivation stage and kind of utter exhaustion from everything. But I am going to get some episodes again out regularly. Now that I have this new position and making a little bit more cash, I can get a separate microphone and we can start to get some guests on the show to talk about our shared grief and how we really move through these things. So anyways, thanks for listening. This is AJ with Ebbs and Flows Podcast.